And let us pray together. Loving God, before time and space, your living word was with you, creating all things. In the fullness of time, he came to bring peace and to show us how to love. By the anointing of your Holy Spirit, inspire us to share his light wherever we go, as we carry your good news of salvation to the ends of the earth. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. The lesson from the prophet comes to us today from the prophet Isaiah. I think last week we heard from 2 Samuel, but for most of this Advent, we've heard from Isaiah the prophet. So today it's chapter 61, verse 10 through chapter 62, verse 3. It's on page 529 in the Bibles, in your pews, and it's here. And now let us hear the word of the Lord. God says through the mouth of his prophet, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and the garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, for Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And here ends the lesson from the prophet. The lesson from the gospel is from Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40, and it's page 725, and here. And this is a story after the birth of Jesus. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And here ends the lesson from the gospel. Finally, the lesson from the second half of the New Testament is just three verses from the fourth chapter of Galatians. It's page 825, and here. And Paul the Apostle wrote to the church, But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And here ends the lesson from Galatians. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So now it's true confession time. Who's packed up all of Christmas? Mike. Okay, Gene. Okay, Patrice gone. Everything. Okay, so some people are working on it. I have not even begun that battle yet. Okay, so next week here, after church, we're going to take down everything and restore the chancel, and all the flowers will find a hopefully happy home, and we'll do it here. For us at my house, we usually do it New Year's Day. Unless we're watching football, then it's the day after, right? So we still are in the middle of Christmas. But the season of Christmas, contrary to out there, I know I've been pounding on you guys about it's Advent, it's not Christmas, right? Even last Sunday morning, I was saying, don't say Merry Christmas, say Merry Advent, right? But even though out there, it's been Christmas since like Halloween, right? Clearly, and Fred Meyer and, you know, Lowe's and everywhere. The season of Christmas, if you had a church calendar, a liturgical calendar, the season of Christmas lasts 12 days. That's why there's that song, on the first day of Christmas, right? Okay, so this is the sixth day or the fifth day of Christmas. And there's some really cool medieval imagery. If anybody wants to know that story, I think I put it in the newsletter one year, but there's some really cool Christian imagery that goes along with the first day of Christmas and the 12 days of Christmas. So even though the stores are putting everything on sale and packing up decorations, and I haven't been to Freddy's in a couple days, but I'm hoping it's not Valentine's Day yet at Fred. It already is. Okay, so clearly. And actually, so here's fair warning. For us in the church, Valentine's Day is also Ash Wednesday. Okay, so there's church that night. Okay, so, all right, just to let you know. Okay, but even though the stores are now already on to Valentine's Day and they're putting all the Christmas stuff on sale, if you want a fake tree, now's probably the time to get it. In here, in the church, it's still Christmas. We're still singing carols. We're singing three more today, and we'll sing four next week. We're still welcoming the child. We're still shining the light. The prophet text continues the rejoicing of Christmas. The prophet looks backwards to what God has done in the past, praises God for what God continues to do in the present, and looks in hope for what God will continue to do in the future through the birth of our Savior. Through the birth of our Savior, God, through the mouth of God's prophet, promises salvation. We just hear it in just these few verses. Salvation, reward, recompense, and redemption. God promises that we will be given new names and a new clothing, and that God will delight in us as a bride delights and as a groom delights in their beloved. That's the promise that God holds out to us through the birth of his son. And Isaiah's prophecies were 1,000 years. He was writing 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. So 3,000 years later, we're still singing those songs and proclaiming those prophecies and clinging to them as true. Soon after Jesus was born, his parents took him to Jerusalem to do what was required by the Torah, the law of Moses. They took him to present him in the temple. They were continuing to be obedient. Last week we talked about Mary and her complete obedience to God. This week we're talking about Mary and Joseph continuing to be obedient. The Torah required that a baby boy, I think by the time he was 12 days old, be presented in the temple and a sacrifice made. If you were rich enough, you sacrificed a lamb. Otherwise, it was two turtle doves or two pigeons, I think the text says. Mary and Joseph were poor peasant people, and they just could afford those two doves. So they took Jesus as the Torah, as the law of Moses required. They took him to the temple, and they presented him there. There they met two people, Simeon and Anna. This is a medieval painting. You can see Anna. I think she's sitting in the very back corner. First, we meet Simeon, who is a very old man, and he had waited for the Messiah, for the redemption of Israel, otherwise known as the Messiah, his whole life. And the text says that he listened to the Holy Spirit. Luke's gospel, in all these stories of the nativity, the Holy Spirit is just so present. You can't miss the Spirit. Simeon had been listening to the Holy Spirit and, prompted by the Holy Spirit, went to the temple. And he was given the gift of seeing the infant Jesus. He wasn't expecting to see the Messiah that day, but he listened to the Spirit and he went to the temple. And then he sings this song. In Latin, the church has been calling it the Nunc Dimittis, which is the first few words in Latin is, now let your servant go in peace. Okay, so if you grew up Catholic and you hear about the Nunc Dimittis, there's a feast for Simeon, and he sings this song about, now dismiss me. That's what Nunc Dimittis means, now dismiss me in peace. So Simeon's gotten to the end of his life, and he's been waiting for the salvation of Israel, and he finally sees the baby, and the Holy Spirit reveals to him that this is the one for whom you've waited, and he sings this beautiful song in which he praises God for salvation, for redemption, for light, for the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah 1,000 years before. And then he says these hard words to Mary about the child is destined to cause a falling and rising of many in Israel. And he says to Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. And so he gives Mary words to ponder and think about, right? The nativity story, the story we read on Christmas Eve, says that Mary pondered all these things in her heart, right? After the shepherds and the angels had come to see the baby. So this is just another thing for Mary to hold close and to think about. So Simeon sings this wonderful song. And then Luke tells us that it wasn't just about Simeon. It was about Anna, who was described as a prophet. So that's pretty unusual. It's very unusual for that time and place for a woman to be described as a prophet. There's very few women in Scripture who get that title as a prophet. And Luke says she was very old. She lived with her husband. The Greek isn't clear either. She lived with her husband for 7 years, and then she was a widow for 84, or she was a widow for 84 years, and then it was 7 years after that. No, the Greek's unclear. But the text says she never left the temple. She was one of those women who stayed in the temple and worshiped God night and day, fasting and praying. And then she saw the child and came up to them and gave thanks to God and then went to tell everybody about this child who would bring the redemption of Jerusalem. So both Simeon and Anna are given the gift of seeing the baby and then praising God for salvation, for redemption, for light, for the fulfillment of the promises in Isaiah, for the fulfillment of all God's promises. Now remember, these are people in the midst of Roman occupation, okay? They are not living easy lives, even in the temple. They're in the midst of a dreadful overlord who kills their children and crucifies their men and takes men off to war and they never come home again. And these are two people who are at the end of their lives. But they're given the gift through the Holy Spirit of seeing the child Jesus and seeing the light shining. They're given the gift of knowing that it's still Christmas. And so it's the same for us. In the midst of struggle and sorrow, and certainly just in this room is represented enough struggle and sorrow to fill a cup to overflowing. Certainly, we too know that in the midst of struggle and sorrow, the light is still shining, and it's still Christmas. The message of Christmas is that the world is not the same after the child as before. And Christmas is not over, whether we pack up our stuff or not. The task we have, and it's especially appropriate that this is the last day of the old year, right? And tomorrow we begin a new one. The task for us is to learn to see the light, to learn to walk in the light. Even after the tree is down and the lights are put away and the toys are broken and the gifts are forgotten. The task is to learn to follow that one who was given the name Emmanuel, literally, God with us. God with us all the time. God for us all the time. Even when we're not looking for it, even when as Simeon and Anna, we're just in the temple doing what they ordinarily did, even when we're not expecting it. So in this new year, I think the story of Simeon and Anna teaches us that we have courage to face what comes with all of its joys and sorrows, with all of its successes and failures, with all of its weakness and strength. I think the story of Simeon and Anna gives us the courage to look for the child, to look for the light wherever we find it. There's a story about an old cobbler. Cobbler's a person who repairs and makes shoes, right? So it's a story about an old cobbler who dreamed one Christmas Eve that Jesus would come to visit him the next day. The dream was so real. Do you ever have those kind of dreams where you wake up and you're just sure that the world's changed overnight? Donna, we were talking about that, right? Last week or something. You just have this dream that's so vivid and so real, and you wake up and you think your world is different. So this dream for this cobbler was so real that he was convinced it would come true. So the next morning on Christmas Day, he got up and he went out and he cut down some green boughs and he decorated his little cobbler shop and he got all ready for Jesus to come and visit, because that's what the dream had said, right? He was so sure that Jesus was going to come that he just sat down and he waited for Jesus. The hours passed and Jesus didn't come, but an old man came. He came inside for a moment to get warm from the winter cold. And as the cobbler talked with him, he noticed some holes in the old man's shoes. So he reached up on his shelf and he got the old man a new pair of shoes and he made sure that he fit, and then he dried the old man's socks by the fire and then eventually sent him on his way. And still he waited and still he waited, and pretty soon lunchtime came and went, and finally an old woman came into the cobbler shop and she hadn't had a good meal in 2 days. So they sat and they chatted for a while, and then the cobbler made some food for her to eat. He shared his lunch with her and gave her a nourishing meal and sent her on her way too. Then he sat down again to wait for Jesus. But still, all afternoon, Jesus didn't come. Finally, he heard a little boy crying outside in front of his shop. He went out and he talked with the boy, and he discovered that the boy had been separated from his parents and he didn't know how to get home. So the cobbler put on his coat and took the little guy by the hand and led him home. When he came back to his little shoe shop, it was almost dark. Christmas was almost over. And then the streets were empty of people. And then in a moment of despair, he lifted his voice to God and he said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, why didn't you come? I waited for you all day." And then in a moment of silence, the Holy Spirit spoke, just as the Holy Spirit spoke to Simeon and Anna. And he heard a voice saying, "Oh, shoe cobbler, lift up your heart. I kept my word. 3 times I knocked on your friendly door. 3 times my shadow fell across your floor. I was the man with the bruised feet. I was the woman you shared your supper with. And I was the boy on the homeless street who you found home." So Jesus had come. The cobbler just didn't realize it. So I think our task for this new year is to keep shining the light, to keep watching for Jesus, to keep watching for the light, and to ask the Spirit to help us recognize the child, to recognize the light when the light comes. I want to close with these words from Galatians, from Eugene Peterson's The Message. "But when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent his Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as God's own children, because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives. Papa, Father." Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation make it plain that you are not a slave, but God's child? And praise be to God. Alleluia. Amen. And let's pray together. Holy and almighty God, we thank you for the faith of Simeon and Anna, so many millennia ago, who waited and watched and waited and watched and listened to your Spirit and were given the gift of seeing the child Jesus and of knowing his light that has come into the world. We pray for your Spirit to be present in each of our lives, opening our hearts and our minds and our lives to listen and wait and watch for the child Jesus, to watch for the light, and to see Jesus in the people we meet, in the situations we encounter and in the work that you give us to do here and in the world out there. We pray all this in the name of the one who is our light and our salvation, Jesus Christ. Amen.